Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We started 2 Kings chapter 4 the other night. The other day actually, wasn't the night service, it was the morning service on Sunday. We talked about the widow woman. I think it's interesting that it says a certain woman, you know. One of the things that we don't always realize that, or we don't take into consideration enough, is that she wasn't, remember when Jesus said this, you know what really made his home church folks upset? Was when he talked about when Elijah went to the widow woman. Remember? He said there were many widows in Israel. He didn't go to one of them. Not one. But he went to the widow in Zarephath. And I think the whole point is this, that miracles, everybody say this, what they mean. Miracles are not for show and entertainment, but they're for use, purpose, the purpose of God. Amen. He's not here to entertain our flesh to get us all excited. He's here to bring us into the fullness. And so we talked about I took my time and I showed you in Romans chapter 7 about if a woman is, husband dies, right, and all that, and if she remains married to him, and married to another, or marries another, she's an adulteress. But if he dies, she's free to marry another. And that was the picture, what he was trying to show us. Adam has to die completely so we can come into a full relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Amen. I told you, you know, I personally don't always like to, you read things and, you know, people, tradition and all that. I'm not a big, you know, tradition, but, you know, tradition, the rabbis taught that the widow woman's husband was Obadiah. And at first I didn't really kind of catch it, but I did catch it the other day when I was reading again. If the thought was Obadiah, does everybody remember who Obadiah was? What's that? Obadiah was the prophet to Ahab. He was the prophet that showed up to Elijah, remember? And the thing is, if you understand that in Ahab's church or his economy, in his kingdom, right? That, you know, the prophets were taken care of well, but if they died like he did, not good for the family because they were no longer any use. And that's why they teach traditionally, you know, that this widow woman was Obadiah's wife. And whether she was or wasn't isn't the point nearly as much as look what happens when you have no more use. The world will teach you this, or treat you the same way, won't it? They have no more use for you, right? You're no good to them any longer. You know, how is it one day you can be a superstar and the next day, same person, right? Just say one thing that somebody doesn't like and, right? Yeah. Are you with me? So, We looked at this, how the, also that the widow woman, one other thought here. Remember what she said about her husband? Feared the Lord. Remember she said that? Remember what Obadiah said? I feared the Lord even when Jezebel was killing everybody. He was putting his life on the line to save, you know. Watch this. His existence in Ahab's castle wasn't for his benefit. It was for the kingdom of God. We're far too many that declare they're in the kingdom are really only in it for themselves. Because you find out real quick they won't lay their lives on the line. The first sign of trouble, what do? Because they can't stay the course. And that's exactly what he did. He feared the Lord. Amen? All right. I'll get to this hopefully. I don't know how far I'm going to get. And the creditor has come to do what? Take the two sons. Verse 2, and Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil," right? Excuse me. A pot of oil. Okay. Now, oil was used as an ailment, right? An ointment, an ailment, you know, for an ailment, you know, how they used oil. It also was used for cooking, right? Because that's what the widow woman at Zarephath was going to do with it also. It also was for anointing the body after bathing, right? You know, it was like their deodorant, so to speak, some kind of concoction. This is why when the Lord gave Moses the recipe for the anointing oil, they couldn't copy it for any other reason or use it for any. They could have copied it, but they couldn't use it for any other reasoning other than for the holy things. Okay? So there, they were already using it for their anointing, cleansing, whatever. Okay? And it also was to anoint the dead. Remember that? Now, this is also kind of a traditional thing that I read, that some folks thought, because remember with a widow at Zarephath, what did she say? What was she doing? Picking up sticks, going to cook their last meal so they could what? Die. So some folks think that this widow woman was saving this last little pot. Did it say pot? I have nothing but. You know, it's kind of funny. I got to tell a story on myself. Don't ask me why. You know, you've heard the term crackpot. It never dawned on me a pot cracked. And you can't hold anything in it like oil. So if I'm a crackpot, just a little goofy thing, but you get me? Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't be crackpots. And that's going to make sense. And I'm way ahead of myself in that. Are you all right? But all she had was a pot of oil, okay? A pot of oil. So some folks think that she was actually saving this for her own burial, all right? Just turn with me to Matthew 26. That's the verse I want, Matthew 26. Let's see. Is that the verse I want? Okay, yeah. Verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" I really do believe this. I'm really thinking about this and meditating and praying, God. One of the greatest, you know, we talk about all the gifts in Corinthians, right? But the greatest gift that is needed in the church today is the gift of discernment. We think it's the gift of healing. No, it's the gift of discernment. Let's take healing. I could go to the book of Revelation. It says that the evil one will do miracles and heal people, and it will deceive many. But if you have the gift of discernment, it will not. And discernment, are you ready? Just because we know something doesn't mean we have discernment. Because I've known things, and it can lead you where you don't belong. All right. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, just saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold, here comes the religious part, right? For much, and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. Verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. So she had a pot of oil, right? That's all she had in the house. Now, I like to also think about, every time I think about oil, you know, I like to think about the anointing oil, right? And I always remember my father preaching a message, never forget it. And he says it all the time. The anointing does what? It breaks every yoke. And the yoke here, right, was the creditor, right? And we can, the strength of, right, the strength of it all was the law, right? The law. It has the law. Look, I already explained to you many times the misconception about it. But listen, the strength of law, it's when we say the rules and regulations or the order of it, is we can't accomplish it through an Adamic mindset. Right? I didn't say an Adamic nature. I said an Adamic mindset. Right? Look at, I told you on Sunday, the widow's husband could be dead, but she could still be setting out everything for him like he's still alive, right? Remember what Rachel did? Rachel left her father's house. But she took the household idols, the teraphims, right, with her. Now, we don't carry around little statues with us anymore, do we? How many statues do we have in our mindsets? This is why Paul said, casting down what? Strongholds and vain imaginations or images. Or watch. You see what the disciples just did? I thought it was interesting. Did you catch this? Did you catch this? Watch. When Jesus, verse 10, when Jesus understood it, when he understood it, wait. Does that mean there was a moment he didn't while she was pouring it on him? That in the pouring of the oil came an anointing? That the eyes of his understanding were enlightened? Oh, wait, he was the all-knowing one. We forget he not only was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, fully God and fully man. And he laid down all his royalship in order to understand. Watch. Does he not? He understands our weaknesses and infirmities, doesn't he? Are you with me? I hope that doesn't break our image of what we think about him. Are you with me? He, as a man, still had to come to the fullness, didn't he? Wait, he was already perfect. So was Adam before he ever fell in that dimension. He was complete, right? He didn't have sin, but he chose it. Were you and I born in it because of Adam. But this is why we get born again in Christ. All right? All right. So I think about the anointing. The only thing that she had in the house was the anointing. All right? The anointing. Now, let's look at the next. Let's turn back to 2 Kings. Now, look at verse 3. Then he said, look at this, go. A big old comma there, isn't there? Go. Isn't that the mandate? To go. To go. Now, we know what it means in its initial state, right? I mean, this could be a great salvation message, right? Go. Matter of fact, let's look at a couple verses just in case you don't know. If you don't know that you're to go, see, one of the problems what most folks don't do is go into their own world. Watch this. In their own houses. How about in their own lives? See, we always want to save the neighbor. Because that's what the church tells us to do. When our own house needs deliverance too. What good does it do to go to the next door neighbor and tell the next door neighbor, you need to repent and be baptized if your own house isn't that way? We have no business. None. Because if we can't get our own loved ones to do it, just saying. Are you with me? Okay, here we go. Go. So turn with me to... Matthew 10. You ready? I'm just going to read real fast. Watch. Now, this has always been something that the Lord showed me, something I always remember that the Lord showed me way back in the beginning. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. He's given direction on how to go, okay? Don't go to the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Now, who are the Gentiles in the natural? We know, right? They were not Israelites, Gentiles. But who are the Samaritans? They were half Israelites and half whoever. Which is a picture, watch, unbelievers and half-hearted people, okay? But go rather to where? To the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Watch this. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Go, right? Go. Go, go, go. Turn with me to Matthew. Let's see, what verse do I want here? Matthew 22. You know this, it's a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, right? And you know, he went and asked, and nobody wanted to come, right? So verse 9, go ye there, verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. That's an interesting thought in this day and age when anybody will make it in. Go ye therefore, where? Into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. There's a point in all this, right? Okay. Turn with me to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, all power. Now that is not dunamis, okay? That's exousia, which means authority. Big difference. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to do what? Observe all things. Wait, what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. I have one more. It is Mark chapter 16. I think this one's important. That's why I'm reading it. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. Are you there? And he said unto them, go. The great command, isn't it? Go. You ever wonder what, when people say, this always has bothered me, these questions. What can I do for the Lord? Why do you even need to ask? I mean, there are so many things. Watch, if you don't get go, how about put on? How about gird up? How about cast off? I mean, where do you want me to stop? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Watch this. I think this is key. He that what? He that what? Believeth. I think Jesus was trying to show us something. Wasn't he? He that believeth and is baptized. The emphasis is on what? Believing and baptism together shall be saved. Is it fair? Should I just put a period there? Or should I read the rest? And he that believeth not shall be damned. Or you know what the word damned means, right? It means to condemn. Judgment against. That's what it means to judge against, to condemn. The word is katakrino in the Greek. But the Great Commission was to go, all right? To go. Go into all the world. I like to make it personal, personally. You know. Go into all the worldly stuff in my life and preach to those areas. See, that's where we... See, James didn't write, a double-natured man is unstable in all his ways. He wrote, a double-minded man. And the problem that the widow woman has, the church, is that she's what? Still thinking she's married to a dead man. He's dead. And she's attached to him because of the debt. Are you with me? Okay. So, go. This really is the Great Commission. But the coolest thing is knowing where he tells you to go. I've been on a lot of stuff where gone and handed out flyers and people stood on corners and, you know, and I think we need to go into the church personally. That's why I really believe that God has given me the Great Commission. Don't go to the Gentile. Does that mean you won't ever talk to any unbeliever? Don't even ask the question. Don't go to the Samaritan. Does that mean you won't talk to any half-hearted Christian? Wait, I talk to him every time we come in here. Uh-oh. That includes me. Are you with me? And I'm going to make a point to all that in a little bit. Now, I'm not throwing rocks, am I? Are you with me? You know, if you think I'm talking about you, what has been my philosophy for as long as everybody's known me? I am. Go. This is the Great Commission. I really do believe that the Lord has told me to go to the what? Lost sheep of the house of Israel. Israel isn't over there. Who's a true Jew? One who is what? Circumcised of the heart, Romans 2 says. Are you with me? By the way, how do you get circumcised? Water baptism. All God wants to do is cut all around our lives. By the way, if you believe, if you repent, you believe and get baptized, does that make you perfect? We only wish. But like any baby, it still has to wear diapers. The problem is, because we're adults in the natural or grown up to a certain degree, we think, you know, yeah, we think, right? Okay, here we go. What did he say to her? Go back there again. 2 Kings chapter 4. And he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all of thy neighbors. Now, I think this is key. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, that was the whole Great Commission, right? To go. Go get people, right? We've done that, haven't we? The church has done that. Should we stop doing that? No, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. It's never been God's desire. I personally believe, that if we truly see the corporate man walking the earth, I don't think there's enough churches or buildings to handle the command of the Lord. I really do. You see all these empty seats? Where are all the people? I really think if you get an opportunity, I know we all like to fill our heads with all kinds of stuff and listen to all kinds of stuff, and I don't just mean messages, but if you get an opportunity, you should listen to my brother Tim's message, and he talks about the missing link, and Nikita said something about it too, and I'm going to tell you what, the real missing link, you know, it's amazing, because I was already down this avenue, the missing link, right? Darwin's looking for the missing link, right? The missing link is the head for the body. It's Jesus. Oh, he's in my heart. I'm talking about in fullness in a corporate body. No place to lay is what? You thought it was a little Christmas story, didn't you? No room in the what? Inn. This is why. Look, what did he say? Go find empty vessels. Do you know why there's not enough empty vessels in my being? It's because we fill it up with everything else but what needs to go in them. Are you all right? Now watch this. Are you ready? What did he say here? Verse 4. And when thou art come in, do what? Thou shalt shut the door. Perfect timing to think he walks in. Thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now watch this, verse 5. Before we read verse 5, I'm going to try and paint a little picture for you. The man of God shows up. She's in debt. She's frazzled to no end. She's about to lose her two kids. which are now her prized possession. She's going to lose them. And the only thing she has in the house is a pot of oil. A pot of oil. And the man of God says to her, now watch this. Go to all of your, what? Neighbors. Isn't that what it says? Go to all of your neighbors. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, the Pharisees used to have a great argument over who your neighbor was. Now, you and I, we hear the word neighbor, and who do we think of? The next door neighbor. But when you hear the word adoption, you think, oh, but that's not the same, is it? The same with neighbor. Are you with me? Here we go. He said, borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few, but go get a lot, right? And he then says, come, when you get them, all those vessels, go in and do what? Close the door. So here's the man of God telling her, you go to your neighbors, and you go wherever you can, and you get all these empty vessels. And then when you get home, shut the door. Close out everything. Look, that's the biggest problem with our minds. We don't know how to shut the door. The door of condemnation. Are you with me? We must shut the door in order for, watch this, God to work. Now watch this. I'll come back to this, but I want to read verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now don't you find it interesting? Here she was, a widow. I started this already once and got sidetracked. A widow. Going to lose her two prized possessions, sons, right? And he tells her, go borrow empty vessels and then go in the house and shut the door. And what does verse 5 start out like? So she went from him and did it. Now, can you imagine today people literally not questioning? Because look, you read the story because you already see the end result of what's going to happen. You think it's fantastic. What a great story. But the truth of the matter is she had to walk by faith, trusting what he was saying was true. Watch this. Not questioning. She had to shut the door to condemnation before she ever went and got them vessels. She had to shut the door to doubt. In her own mind. You know what really cracks me up about people is this. Watch. Let's take the I'm not under the law folks, right? Watch this. In the Old Testament, the Bible says if you did it under the law, you what? If you did the act, you did what? You paid the price. But in the New Testament, under the law of the Spirit, if you even think it, and I believe the writer of the Hebrews said, look, if judgment was like this under Moses' agreement, how much greater under Jesus' agreement? Because watch, the blood of Jesus was a greater price than anything Moses paid, watch this, with an animal. So she had to shut the door. Are you with me? She had to shut the door on everything. Hey, all right, turn with me to Job 29. Oh, can I say this? Where do you think she went? You know what? I'm not doing a very good job. I don't do a very good job anymore. I don't know what has happened to me, but I'm going to tell you what. Let me tell you, let's do this before I even say it. Turn with me to, I don't want to read Job yet. I want to read somewhere else. Are you ready? Matthew. Let me see. Where do I want to go? I think it's Matthew 6. Hang on. Matthew 6. Yes, Matthew 6. Are you ready? Verse 4. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand's doing, that thy alms may be what? In secret. And thy Father which seeth where? In secret himself shall reward thee what? Openly. Watch. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now here's my verse. But thou, you ready? When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, or in the invisible realm, or the realm of the Spirit. Watch this. He's in the secret place. Tell me where the secret place is. It's the most holy place. He's in the holiest of holies. Look, I'm way ahead of myself, but you already know the story that the oil multiplies, right? The only place it's going to multiply is in the most holy place. And the only way we're going to walk in the most holy place is when we shut the door to everything else. Watch this. And we come in empty, except for the anointing, and pour out to see it multiply. It's only going to get multiplied. See, this is what Jesus did. See, his miracles were not for show. They were for use. And what he was trying to show us was, watch, no matter where I am, I'm in the secret place. And I've shut the door. Listen, do you remember Jesus did this and Peter did this? When they were going to heal someone, the little girl, And the woman, right? Peter was Dorcas, wasn't it? What did he do? What did they do? They tossed out all the unbelievers. Oh, no. They went to church with them. These were church folks with them, and they just didn't really believe. The doubt. Are you all right? Shut the door, pray to the Father which sees in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, watch this, shall do what? Reward thee openly. When most people see the word reward, they think monetary American lifestyle. The true reward that any one of you or I could ever have is a corporate anointing. Not individually, but a corporate anointing that would walk in the earth. And watch this. Fulfill the word of God. How cool is that? I see I've just excited you so much I've knocked your socks off. What better thing could you ever have in your life? Not a thing. Nothing. And do you know why it doesn't excite us? Not empty vessels. We fill our lives with junk food for the soul and entertainment for the flesh. I left here on Wednesday night and I said, Lord, I did a rotten, terrible job. I could not get my point across to anybody. And you know what I heard? You know who likes these kind of words? Students. Students of what? Students of the Word. Because when we become students of the Word, when we're diggers, studiers, we will hear, we will understand, and we will never think, didn't I use the word the other night, boring? I don't want to bore you. students, true students. I'll ask the teachers, do you have students that never get bored by learning? I think if we read the Proverbs, it says the wise, what, are always willing to what? They realize they don't know everything and they want to learn more. They become wiser, isn't that what it says? I just put in my own words, didn't I? And I'm not condemning anybody. What I'm saying is this, is God's got something for us. I've been saying this for years, that whatever you are doing right now and you think it's the most important thing in your life, you'll forget all about it. That scares the daylights out of me. No. God's cool. All right. Job. I know I'm boring. I don't want to bore you, but Job 29. Job. Here we go. Verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. Ha. Oh, that's so cool. When the Almighty was yet with me, and when my children were about me, when I, what? Washed my steps with butter. The rock. Who's the rock? You already know. Poured me out rivers of oil. Did you hear that? Rivers of oil. All right. Oh. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, and then I'm going to... 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel anymore, or not no more vessels. And the oil did what? It stayed, it stopped. I have a question. This is a good thought. Do you think every vessel was utilized in the world or at that time? I don't. Only the ones, watch this, that were empty and made it in to the secret place. I'm sure outside of her house or outside of that room, I don't know where she kept. I don't know if it, I personally think it wasn't just in a room. I think the whole house became the secret place. Are you with me? Shut the door. Okay. Shut the door. It's like we got the door shut on here, so if we filled this place up with vessels. But there were vessels outside, weren't they? They never made it in. The only ones that came in were what? Empty. Or watch this. Do you remember this? Do you remember in the book of Esther? Yeah, book of Esther, yeah. When Vashti, remember? Vashti had her own party. She went to the house of women, right? Remember that? Okay. But remember what the king was doing? He had a party himself. And what did he do? He kept pouring wine until what? Till you said no more. So if you kept drinking, hallelujah, he kept pouring. If you keep emptying yourself out, it'll keep pouring and pouring and pouring. It'll keep flowing and flowing and flowing, won't it? Are you with me? See, we've wanted to pour out and have a flow out of how much or how great of a Christian we are. And we've turned it into human kindness and human love, and it's not been God because it has not produced the kingdom. Are you with me? What he really wants to pour out is, watch this, what comes from the holies to holies, the secret place. Shut the door. Are you with me? Here we go. Multiplication of oil, are you ready? Only comes through pouring out. Shut the door. We must enter the closet, the secret place, the most holy place. We must shut the door of condemnation. I already told you this. We must shut the door, watch this, on panic and unbelief. Remember in the last little thing with Jehoram, when he was all freaked out that he thought God gathered them together to be killed? Same principles. It's the thought, the way we think, okay? We have to change the way we think. And you can't be religious. Nah. We must shut the door of panic and unbelief. We must shut the door of condemnation. And watch this. What did she do? James. Faith without works. If she never would have went out and got the vessels, if she never would have brought them into the house, if she never would have closed the door, the oil could have never been multiplied. I wonder if I'm not talking about you. Are you with me? I think you already know where I'm going with it. If we ever wonder why we don't see a flow, are you with me? The oil of the Holy Spirit will continue to flow so long as there is a vessel that is empty and available. I wonder if there's sections of my soul that I close off that he wants to anoint with his oil, with his flowing oil. How about our church? How about our families? How about the way we think? Are you with me? And watch this. There was none to be wasted. Watch this, spilled oil can never be gathered up again. Wherever there's an empty, longing heart, the life and the grace of God will flow. Now, look at verse 7. I'm almost done. I want to finish this tonight. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest, or at rest. All right? Oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to get all this done. I got to read. I'm just going to read, okay? Here we go. Pay. The word pay means to be safe in mind, body, or estate. Figuratively, it means to be complete, to be at peace, finish, end, to make compensation, to repay. Our first husband, the law, Adam, left the family in debt. Jesus paid our debt. His blood washed away our sin. Watch this. On a real practical note, folks, pay your bills and then you won't be in debt. All right? Remember when Jesus said this? We don't like it. But they said, who do we give our money to? To God or to Caesar? And what did he say? Render unto God what's God's and unto Caesar's what is Caesar's. All right. The creditor is the law. And it shows no mercy, right? If you go by the law, thou shalt not kill. You kill, guess what? There was a penalty, wasn't there? Now, we can't swing the pendulum so far the other way either, right? Okay, here we go. The money owed was the sin debt. Jesus shed blood, paid the debt he did not owe. Hello? We owed the debt, and we could not pay. This is why I don't understand why we get so arrogant when it comes to Christianity. Oh, yes, I do. Knowledge puffs people up. And I'll tell you where that spirit is. It's in the affirmation realm of trying to tell everybody who they are, when it really doesn't matter who you are nearly as much as it matters who he is. Jesus was heaven's pot of oil, the oil bottle, who was anointed, right, to satisfy the debt and to save the two sons. Are you ready for this? Who are the two sons? Who did Paul preach to? No, the Greeks, right? And Peter preached to the Jews. So in humanity, you had the Jews, one son. The Gentiles or the Greeks, another son. They were both humanity, right? In debt to Adam. Didn't matter really what the lineage was, right? Okay? And what was... He came to save the two sons, both Jew and Greek. Remember that? In what? One body on the cross. Remember, he did all that. Ephesians teaches us that, doesn't it? From the bondage of the law of sin and death. Romans, we know that. He poured himself out to us. Hallelujah. Right? Now this treasure is where? In an earthen vessel. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. Jesus the pot was anointed above his fellows. Hebrews teaches us that. Because of his finished work. Now we are seed. Hello. And live. The seed is what? Incorruptible. The seed can never what? Die. The seed can't die. I'm wowing you tonight. Are you ready? We were all utterly incompetent to satisfy the demands of the law, right? You can't do it. You can't even do it with Jesus in your life. Neither can I. I'm just saying, we can't. Watch. The law was, you know, but what God's really trying to get you and I to understand is, I'm going to write the law where? In your inward parts. So that you can do what? Fulfill it. Or in other words, carry it out by the Spirit. He's not giving me a loophole that I can't meet to his satisfaction. He's given me his Spirit so I can. Oh, hallelujah. The oil from heaven so that I can overcome. Oh, how cool is that? You ready? Okay, we were all utterly incompetent to satisfy the demands of the law or to effect our own redemption. Yeah, you can't save yourself no matter how hard you try. We can but rely on the favor and the grace of God. The oil pictures the superabounding grace of God wrought toward us through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit of God. Now, geez, I'd like to do this. Maybe I'll come back to this Sunday, but watch. In a real deep, or in a deeper application, okay, the pot of oil points to the corporate son, the company, okay? So we see it as Jesus, right? He was poured out for you and I so we could be saved, right? But we're talking about Elisha here, aren't we? And Elisha is a picture of the corporate church, isn't it? Or a prophetic church, a corporate son of God, right? Are you with me? Making sense to you? Now watch this. It points to the Son of God. Now remember this. The two witnesses who empty or pour out the golden oil into the candlestick. Who's the candlestick? The church. Watch. If you don't think so, Jesus said, you are the light of the world, the candlestick. But the only way that light could burn was with oil. Now watch this. In Pentecost, where most folks want to live, the priest had to bring the oil and constantly replenish it. But what he's trying to show us, this miracle wasn't for show, it was for use. And what he's trying to show us, what there was a multiplication of oil or an abundance of it, that it just kept flowing. Watch this. Do you remember, are you ready for this? I wish I would take the time to go there. Do you remember in Zechariah, what did he talk about? An olive tree. And what? Two golden candlesticks. And watch this. Because the olive tree, what did it do? It brought oil directly to the candlesticks nonstop. How many candlesticks? Two. Who are they? Head and body. Corporate sun. Are you with me? And it was a continuous flow. Watch. There was no need for them to have a process any longer because they already overcame. They didn't need to take the oil from the tree and beat it down and get the... No, because the process had already taken place. I know I'm not helping anybody. Are you with me? In this new day, the kingdom realm of the most holy place, the oil just flows. Pentecost, you have to keep replenishing it. Watch. This is why. I got to turn on a song. I got to go read my Bible. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. And I say you better do it, because if you don't, you'll never get any oil flowing. But watch, in the most holy place, shut the door to everything else and just let the Holy Ghost flow. You won't need a song. You won't need this. You won't need that. You will have God. And he isn't doing it for the individual. He's doing it for the corporate. The individual does become a cell or a part. Yes, absolutely. Are you with me? I know I'm keeping you long tonight. Kingdom realm is the most holy place. The oil just flows. There's a constant outflowing of the indwelling Christ. Watch this. A priesthood after the order of what? Melchizedek. Ah, yeah. The Melchizedek priesthood has the DNA or the divine nature, attitude, or attribute of God. It just flows. Are you with me? Oh, that sounds good, but I got to live in today's world. No, that's a lie. That's from Adam's thinking. God's always trying to get you and I to do what? Come up higher. Well, the world's screaming in my face. So? You don't think Jesus' body screamed at him when he hung on that cross? Oh, yeah. But he had you and I in view. Are you with me? I always remember this. Seriously. I remember when your mama sat on the back porch 2 weeks before she passed away. It was right about this time. And this is what she said to me. You know what, Dale? Brother Sexton saw me coming. He didn't have a clue who she was, but through the Christ. And I'm telling you what, Brother Sexton saw this church. Because that's why he kept going. I mean, he didn't physically see it. But listen, it's so that the flow and the anointing of the secret place can come to maturity. Not in just individuals, but in a people. Listen to me, folks. We need to empty ourselves so he can pour in the right stuff that needs to be poured out. If I had millions and millions of dollars and I told people I'm going to start giving away millions and millions of dollars, we wouldn't have enough room here. And yet money could not buy what what God has given. Watch this. Eternal life. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your spirit and your flow, oh God. Elijah's called the man of God. It was found five times in 2 Kings. Elisha is called the man of God. It's found 11 times in 2 Kings, 4 times in 2 Kings 5, 4 times in 2 Kings 6, 4 times in 2 Kings 7, 5 times in 2 Kings 8, and 1 time in 2 Kings, for a total of 29 times. Hello, number 30. That's what God's after, is maturity in a people. The 42nd generation. I don't even have time to teach all that. We don't realize how privileged we are to even understand the little bit we do. And may our experience catch up to our understanding to this point. The secret place is where he wants to flow. He's already flowed in the outer court, Passover and Pentecost. We can't live without it. But it's the most holy place that he's after. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your pouring out. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Strengthen us, God, that we would overcome, arise above our own thinking, our own way of doing things, that the glory, the thinking mind of God will come forth. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.